So, yeah, I just called up old Charlie Costello, and I told him where we were and to come down and get his dog back. And said, if you had any trouble finding us, just look for a Buick umpire. I didn't tell him he promised to come alone, and I know him. And he said that he would. And he'll be here in a couple of hours, depending on traffic. Now, I've labeled these guns up for you, but you totally don't have to use them. And I won't think that you're pussies, but I'm going to hang on to mine. Because I think we've done enough of this talking about peace and the desert type stuff, don't you? I do. This movie is my way.
Well, that's just fucking great! Oh, great! You know what that is? Do you know what that is?
Great.
That's just fucking great!
How far is the walk to the Welcome Center?
We can't leave him.
You ain't gonna fight.
Of course, I ain't gonna fight, but I ain't gonna run.
What are you gonna do then?
I guess I'm gonna die.
Friends don't make their friends die, Hans.
Psychopathic friends do. You're the one thought psychopaths were so interesting. They get kind of tiresome after a while, don't you think?
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red String Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my friend and the person, we'll say, least likely to follow somebody around for a long time and then commit suicide with them, Alex Perk Perkins. How are you doing tonight?
I think you're way off base on this one.
I don't know, Perk. I feel like that's too much work for you to follow somebody around for years. That's a lot of work.
No, but you forget that I'm, like, dedicated to the bit to a fault. That is definitely something I'd go for. I love dumb stuff.
You'll pull the Christopher Walken on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. As always, you can find our show on Friday mornings on podcast services. If you like it, don't forget to share it with your friends. Episode 10, we made it 10 episodes, Perk. Went by pretty quick.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, started back at the end of 2021. Now it's middle of February. It's kind of weird. But you know what? We're enjoying talking about movies, and every week we talk about a movie that is connected to the previous one that we talked about. And this week we are discussing Seven Psychopaths. Our connection is Sam Rockwell, who was in The Way, Way Back that we reviewed last week. But yeah, let's get into our review. Perk, why don't you introduce the movie for us?
All right. Seven Psychopaths is a 2012 joint directed by Martin McDonagh, starring Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, and Christopher Walken. It is a really hard movie to explain the plot for, but I'll give it my best. Basically, it follows Colin Farrell, who's a screenwriter, and he's trying to write a movie called Seven Psychopaths, so it's a bit meta in that regard, and it's just him running around trying to come up with or meet different psychopaths to write about. The film is like a meta film. It's like that old trope of a film about a film, but the film that we're watching is also just kind of the film that he's making. So There are a few sequences in there where it's very self-referential. There's lots of murder.
There's definitely lots of murder in this movie. There we go. Perk, you've seen this before. I have not. Do you want me to go first then?
Yeah, I'd care to hear your takes.
So, I have very mixed feelings about this movie, Perkins.
All right, do tell.
I feel like the best way to describe my thoughts is that this movie is less than the sum of its parts. I really liked certain scenes. I really liked Christopher Walken's whole character and story. But besides that, I felt like this movie was like trying to be... I don't know. It's weird. Like, I know it's a comedy, but it felt like it was trying to be a very serious movie. It felt like it was trying to have some like cool, serious message, or like you said, be like really meta, and it just didn't work for me. I didn't really care about any of the characters except for Christopher Walken. And, there are parts that I enjoyed. Like, I really liked all of the little vignettes of, anytime we'd get a cutaway to a different story. Like when we first see Christopher Walken's story, we don't know what's about him. And then we see the Vietnamese guy, that whole story at the end, and the couple of serial killers, like all that stuff was great. And I liked, some of the banter between, but like, I just like didn't really care about what was happening that much, mainly because I didn't really know why anything was happening. Like, in the beginning of the movie, Colin Farrell's like, I'm writing this movie called Seven Psychopaths that I have literally nothing that I know it's going to be in it. It's like, well, then why are you writing it in the first place? Like, we don't even know why he wants to write this movie about seven psychopaths. And he in particular isn't apparently like a character I want to root for necessarily because he's an alcoholic and like shitty to his girlfriend. And everything kind of just happens to him. He doesn't really influence the plot much. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I think it's an entertaining movie for sure. It's very unpredictable. But that doesn't make it good, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm kind of mixed. But
yeah, that's fair. On that last point, subversion for the sake of subversion does not make good.
Mm-hmm.
CC, The Last Jedi. But yeah, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. This is probably top five on my list. I absolutely adore this movie. And most of the things that you said, I don't disagree with, and they're like, it's hard to refute because a lot of it's opinion based. Like, excuse me, you don't vibe with the characters, which I can see that for sure. Like, Colin Farrell is definitely a bit of a passenger. And I think he more is just like around for the world. Like, he's just a POV, you know, kind of like, this is a bad example because I don't particularly like The Office, but kind of like Jim Halpert, where he's just guy and like, that's pretty much his whole character. So, don't roast me in the comments for that one. The Office is great. It's my favorite. But no, I love it. I love the story. I love the unpredictability of it. I really, really like Sam Rockwell's character. I really, really like Woody Harrelson's character. I love Christopher Walken's character. Sure, Colin Farrell's character is maybe not the deepest, but he plays him well because he's pretty much playing himself. So... That seems to be kind of a like, Christopher Walken is also kind of just playing himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's such, like, just a caricature of a human, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to take him seriously. But also I found his character the most interesting by far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an absolute character. No pun intended. But, no, nothing but praise from me on this one.
Okay. So if I can ask, so why do you like the characters so much? Because, like, talking about Sam Rockwell's character, like, again, he's entertaining. He's very unpredictable. But, again, I don't really understand what the fuck's going on with him. Because, so basically, as far as I understand, his friend's Colin Farrell is trying to write this movie and he's having a hard time. So he's like, oh, I'll give him something to write about by going and murdering the henchman of my girlfriend's actual boyfriend. And then also... steal his dog, but also, why is he a dog kidnapper in the first place? Like, is he like need cash? We never really get that. I just don't understand why, like, where we're meeting him in this movie. Because, like, comparing it to like Killing Them Softly, back to our first one we reviewed, you have Ben Mendelsohn's character who's a dog kidnapper, but like, I can see that because he's a junkie. Sam Rockwell seems like a totally like normal guy. Like, I don't think he's having money issues, or if he is, it's we don't see that. And dog kidnapping does seem like a very stable source of revenue. I don't know. It's just like, I just don't know where we're meeting him at in this movie and why he does what he does.
I don't know if I'd say that's like a necessary thing you have to go over. Like, in the last movie, sure, we weren't asking why is Sam Rockwell work at a water park.
Yeah. But also, like, we got that through subtext. Like, we got, because of his relationship with his dad, he wanted to kind of just do his own thing, and then him ending up at that position isn't like the most far-fetched.
Sure.
Option. And maybe I'm being too harsh, and like you say, you don't need that stuff. But like, for me personally, I really, my enjoyment a lot stems from characters. And this movie, I'm just like, I was just confused a lot of the time. I'm like, wait, why is this happening? What's going on?
I think maybe you misread the title and thought we were watching Seven, the Brad Pitt movie. We were watching Seven Psychopaths. Why is Sam Rockwell a dog kidnapper? Probably because he doesn't have a job and wants to make a buck, but he's also just a psychopath. It's a lazy out, but a lot of these people have weird actions throughout the movie because they're just literally crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I mean, it's the premise, but it just goes back to the main thing that, like, I noticed even in the moment was, like, Colin Farrell, he's writing this movie about seven psychopaths. I was like, why? Like, why are you interested in psychopaths? Why was this the direction? They kind of say he wants to do it, and then we do it because it's the premise of the movie. But I kind of needed something of, like, okay, but why, though? Why the specific title for this movie?
Well, it was assumed off-screen beforehand that he's already decided that this is his movie. And when we meet him, he already has the idea for one. But right. I suppose it's not gone over his creative process of coming up with seven psychopaths.
Right. Yeah, me personally, and I'm not trying to say it's like a bad movie. I'm not saying it's not a bad movie. Just me personally, I need a little bit more. This movie reminds me a lot of The Big Lebowski, wherein you have like this cast of characters that kind of things happen to, and you kind of just watch it play out, and then it just kind of ends. But I think Big Lebowski is funnier and more charming than this movie, at least to me, and for me, like, more enjoyable. Because this is a comedy, but I'm not, like, laughing that much in it, because there are some really, like, serious shit in it.
Oh, this is a laugh-out-loud movie for me. I don't know, maybe, like, black humor is just not your forte. I definitely can get that. It's super, super niche, for sure, but I laugh my ass off at this movie.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I was not... Yeah, I think I agree. Like, this isn't necessarily my style of humor. This isn't, like, a go-to comedy style. For me, like, when I think of, like, a comedy movie, I think of, like, The Other Guys, you know? Sure. Which is one of the top movies of all time. I'm putting that on the record right now. Top comedy movies of all time.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure.
But to stop being negative about it, and some stuff that I really did enjoy, like I said, I think the cutaways are really well done. And, like, some of the most engaging stuff in the movie for me, just like when, I forget his name, but the guy with the rabbit. I don't know if you remember his name.
Zachariah.
Thank you. When Zachariah just starts telling his story, it's like engaging like really fast. You're like, wait, what? And then he goes down. And like, there are funny moments there because like you recognize the people he's killing, the fucking Zodiac killer and shit.
Fun fact for you, quick aside. The hippie or the Zodiac killer in this movie is played by the guy who's in the safety video for Claire's at the end of I Think You Should Leave season 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Just, that's a good pull. I saw him and I was like, hold on. Wait a second. Let me check this out. And yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah. Well, like that was super engaging. I mean, everything with Christopher Walken's character was fantastic because we first get Colin Farrell, coming up with the story, right? And it's super good and engaging. Watch that little vignette. And then we find out later, oh, Sam Rockwell told Matt at the party, so he didn't actually come up with it. It's like, oh, okay, that's a nice twist. And then we get the thing in the hospital where he's sitting across Woody Harrelson and he takes off his
handkerchief.
Cravat. Thank you.
Cravat.
And we see the scar and we're like, oh, fuck, he's the guy from the story. But it's like, okay, which guy was he? Was he the guy? Was he the killer or was he the guy outside? And then we finally get the final thing later of like, oh, yeah, he was the Quaker. And all that. So I loved all that shit. That was fantastic.
I suppose I definitely connected more with the appreciated more Sam Rockwell's character and Woody Harrelson's character, because Woody Harrelson is just, he's a caricature. He's like goofy mob boss who's obsessed with his dog, which there's not all that much to it, but I think it works well in the movie.
But he also is like legitimately scary too.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
The whole scene with him and Christopher Walken's wife is like really hard to
watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very taut. For sure.
Though there is a moment when it cuts back and he's just doing a wheelie in the wheelchair. Yeah. I'm just like, what are you doing, man?
That's what I'm saying. Stupid shit like that. I always chuckle. And then Sam Rockwell's character, I'm surprised you don't like, because, like, his motivation is pretty clear. Like, he wants to be a good friend. His whole thing is being a good friend. Doesn't know how to do that, so he figures, well, I gotta help him write his script. And since he's crazy, he thinks I just have to give him source material to write about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just, like, didn't... Maybe... It's hard, because he's so crazy, it's hard for me to fully, like, understand everything he's doing and, like, why. Because he's one of the most unpredictable characters in the movie. I mean, when he shoots the girlfriend in the stomach, just like, oh, okay. Or he blows up the car, you know.
Yeah.
That stuff is completely out of nowhere. And then, like, you know, once we get into it, it's makes enough sense, but I don't know. I mean, he was like an enjoyable performance. It's just the way his character was. I guess I was asking questions of like, okay, well, why are they friends? And also, like,
Jacob, not after... every movie has a meet cute for homies.
I know. I just need a little bit for, because like, and then like he blows up the car and shit, and then like Colin Farrell's really mad at him, and then there's like sit on the cliff, and they're just like best friends again. They like forgive each other like very quickly. I'm just like, wouldn't you be more pissed off? Like, and again, everyone in this movie's crazy. I know, but. I needed one sane character in this movie, Perk, is what I'm trying to get at.
You needed the straight man.
I needed the straight man. Because this is
the movie where even the straight man's a psycho.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose I could see where you're coming from. I guess see it through a different lens.
We can agree to disagree.
I think you are not crazy enough to understand the crazy people. So maybe work on that a little bit.
Okay.
Like if you ever tried like staring at a wall for like 36 hours straight, try that. Maybe that'll help.
That'll help it a little. I will say I really thought that Zachariah's story was going to somehow tie into Christopher Walken's story. I wasn't sure how, but I'm like, oh, what if like... their daughter was killed by the judge. That wouldn't make sense because they killed. I thought there was some way they were gonna like weave in. That'd be really cool.
Sure,
that didn't happen. But, yeah. I mean, one thing I can say too is like, yeah, this movie is very, very unpredictable. Like I already mentioned, the girl finally getting shot in the car blowing up. Like, there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, okay, and it's like, I like that because they do things that probably are more realistic than. We see often in movies. I'm thinking of like, this is a really bad example, but like any James Bond movie, when they have James Bond, you know, tied up and then the villain starts monologuing and then that's to his downfall, like that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So they kind of subvert some of that stuff.
Yeah, when he actually shows up without a gun and alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I did like some of the meta stuff, but some of the things I think didn't work as well. Like, for example, when Walken roasts him for not having any like good female characters
in his script. I was gonna mention that because this is a topic that I think is worth discussion. Does self-referential meta comedy excuse bad writing?
No,
because I don't think it does, and no, I think it makes like at one point, and I think it's Deadpool 2. Deadpool says, well, that's just lazy writing. And it is lazy writing. And I don't think that makes it okay. So, yeah, no, I know. So most of the meta stuff in this movie is pretty,
it's more foreshadowing.
Pretty harmless. Yeah, like when they're driving out into the middle of nowhere and and Colin Farrell's talking about how he wants to have a setup for a shooter and then the main characters drive out to the desert and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of stuff... is fine, but when you do something like poke fun at a problem, like your women characters are underwritten, they are.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. You're right to call this out, but it's, it kind of is weird, and, like, it's just bringing attention to a negative. Although, at least, like, we've since been proven that Martin McDonagh can write strong female characters, like Three Billboards.
Exactly.
But yeah, like in the moment, it's like, yeah, you're right. The female characters suck. And it is a meta commentary on things are harder for women, but, I think it is pretty funny that they make, the example that you're allowed to kill women. You just can't kill the animals. those things are all funny, but calling out that you have bad female characters, maybe not a nice touch.
No, because like if you're aware of it, then fix the problem. That's what it comes down to. It's like, I think Bo Burnham had a similar thing in his last special in Inside, where he's like, basically, like if you're an asshole and you know you're an asshole, that doesn't make you not an asshole anymore. It means you need to fix the problem. Like, just knowing that your thing is shitty doesn't excuse it being shitty.
Right.
But I mean, I will say the payoff to that whole conversation is at the very end. when Christopher Walken is telling his version of the pre-story, the hooker is like a super intelligent a female character, has a lot of like lines.
Who studied Vietnamese at Yale.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is kind of funny, but
to be fair, also like Christopher Walken's wife.
Oh yeah. But she also dies.
She gets killed, which ties back in, but she at least has something to do in this movie and has a pretty good scene with Woody Harrelson.
Right.
This movie definitely
does not pass the Bechdel test, I will say.
No, there are no women that have conversations with each other. I can only think of three women, four. The girlfriend, the other girlfriend who gets shot, the wife, who's like actually a character, and the red dress woman who Christopher Walken decides to put the red dress on her.
Yep. Yep. And I guess maybe the serial killer's wife, but she gets like two lines.
She has no dialogue, I don't think, does she?
Yeah. She says like get in the house to like the
Zodiac. That's right. Yeah, she has a couple lines, but and she's very interesting, but once again
I would love to see more of their relationship, but we get, nothing for the sake of the joke, which again our choice, like I don't know. There are choices that were made, and it's the fact that he was aware of it doesn't excuse it.
Right.
You know. So
before we move on, I'm going to allow you to have your subjective opinion that this is not the best movie, which acceptable. I can see where you're coming from. I will not allow you to disagree with me that this movie has objectively, in my opinion, subjectively, the best opening scene of all time.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, because it's two, like, not irrelevant actors. I mean, like, C-tier, but, like, faces you'd recognize. They're talking on a bridge. Several people, like, walk past them, and to the point where we've been shown, because they react, we've been shown that this jogger woman's not a threat. And then this man, for, like, 30 seconds, he's on screen, just walking up. Mm-hmm. And just domes them both. That, fantastic.
And their banter was really funny, too.
Yes.
With shooting the eye, or like, oh, I want to have to put an ice pick through guys here. Well, that'd be a different topic, wouldn't it? And like, that's the kind of more of that kind of banter I wanted in this movie, if I'm being completely honest. Because that shit was really funny. I will say I called the Jack of Diamonds killer with Sam Rockwell immediately. But
It's not exactly well hidden.
Yeah, because like, wait, it's like every time he leaves is when it comes in.
Yeah.
Thinking emoji. But, I agree with you. That's one of a very, very solid opening scene.
Then I'll also give a tip of the hat to the end. The Christopher Walken monologue is fantastic. Over the recorder. And then the scene where Zachariah calls Colin Farrell.
Great.
And he's just like, yeah. Yeah, Tuesday's fine. And Zachariah's like, I can't do Tuesday. I'll call you back.
Yeah, that was a great scene. Which, like, you knew it was coming, right?
Yeah.
But that was a great scene.
It's just nice, a nice little touch.
One last thing I'll just mention, because I want to mention this. When we came out in 2012, it did have, they used the F word a lot, not the F-U-C-K, but, and also just, like, the word psychopath, like, isn't great to use anymore, just because, like, I don't know, it kind of
really,
I don't like it, because I feel like it implies anyone with a mental health issue could be violent. To some that connection has been made a lot with recent history of there's been a lot of shootings, and it's like people have tried to connect it with mental health issues, which, like, I'm not saying have no effect, but all this to say that I don't think this movie would get made today with this exact same script.
Maybe not by Martin McDonough, but I think Quentin Tarantino would make this script today.
Oh yeah, well I was going to mention you said last week this movie was really gory, and like people who don't like blood may not want to watch it. I didn't really mind it because it was Tarantino-esque.
Yeah, it was like Kill Bill over the top,
where like you can see the blood squirt, especially when like the double neck slice scene. You can see like the blood squirting out from the like hose or whatever they have.
The scene in particular I was referring to is when she's going at the guy's throat with a hacksaw. And like
just
that's
why?
The scene where I'm like, oh dear.
That's such an inefficient way to kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. And yeah, like I said, I'm not saying this is a bad movie. It just wasn't for me.
Sure.
And it wasn't what I look for in a movie.
I gotcha.
Like, I guess, to sum it up in, like, one thing, like, when I finished the movie, I was not satisfied.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, way, way back last week, where I get, like, an emotional arc and emotional satisfaction.
Sure.
This is just kind of, like, stuff happens, and it's entertaining, but the end, I'm just kind of like, eh, okay.
I think maybe, too, this movie hits all the right buttons for me, because I have, like, rose-colored glasses for it, because it's, unlike any movie I've ever seen, you know, like, it's not, especially, like, when, you know, in coming into, like, 2022, we're just getting more and more just super hyper-processed garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything's a reboot, and everything's a remake, and now we're getting an adaptation of Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig. Come on. Like, I hope she at least gets a bag for it, but really? Like, the originality is such a rare thing now, so, like, to see a movie like this where it's, like, nothing in it is, obviously there's tropes and everything, but... Mm-hmm. Like, to have a movie that's actually unexpected in some ways is rare. So maybe that artificially inflates my perception of it.
Well, yeah, and of course, it's okay for us to disagree as well, but I want to say again on the record that Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is one of my top movies of all time, which is the director's next film.
Yes. Also, like, I don't think we'll need to do a red string on him, but Martin McDonagh's really awesome.
Have you seen In Bruges?
Yes, In Bruges is an absolutely fantastic movie. If you like the more, like, dialogue-heavy, character-based parts of this movie, you'll really like In Bruges. That's one I would for sure recommend to watch. It's unfortunately not on streaming. I don't think anything Martin McDonagh's is on streaming, which is annoying. In Bruges used to be on Netflix, which is how I watched it. But
yeah, the only movie I'd recommend, I already mentioned, is Big Lebowski, because I think the structure is very, very similar. I don't know if you agree with me with that or not, but
yeah, I can kind of see it. It's two polar opposites from, like, the peripherals, but yeah, I can see where, like, you're saying, just it's kind of a trip, kind of just a lot of events and stuff,
mm-hmm. and just, like, kooky characters getting into this weird shit and stuff happens. So yeah, that's the only one I have.
Yeah, so, and then I recommended In Bruges. Obviously I'd throw on Three Billboards. Just I really like Martin McDonagh. And then I would also throw on there, because of how much in this episode you praised how good Sam Rockwell's character is and how good Sam Rockwell is at acting. I'd say go out and watch Moon. I'd say Jacob specifically, just watch Moon this week. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
It's one that we've skipped out on because the unfortunate reality is that there are really only two actors in the movie. It's Sam Rockwell and then the voice of a robot played by Kevin Spacey, who we'd care to avoid.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a fantastic movie. Like, Sam Rockwell, in all two performances we've seen him, he's been fantastic. So I would definitely check out Moon. It's another movie that's, like, right in my wheelhouse. It's a contained thriller with, like, one actor. And that kind of stuff, like Locke with Tom Hardy or The Wall with Aaron Taylor Johnson, which nobody saw, because the commercials billed it wrong.
I don't even remember. Actually, that
movie. Probably more people saw it because it was billed wrong. So it's Aaron Taylor Johnson and John Cena. And
when did this come out?
Oh, a few years ago. I saw it in the theaters. And basically they're like in the Middle East, and the Aaron Taylor Johnson gets John Cena gets taken out of the movie very quickly. And then it's pretty much just Aaron Taylor Johnson pinned behind like a half brick wall for an hour and a half. And it's him and a walkie talkie and he's chatting, like talking with the sniper. So this, that movie was billed as like, war action movie, rah-rah, John Cena. And then actually it's like a super intense contained thriller. So, yeah, contained thrillers are definitely a wheelhouse for me. And Moon is for sure one of them, because it's just Sam Rockwell and he's stuck in, like, a space station.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to watch that. I might watch this, too, because I love Aaron Taylor Johnson from Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass, oh, sure. Great fucking movie.
Yeah. Did you ever see Vice?
With
Sam Rockwell played...
it's the one George about W. Dick Bush Cheney, right?
Yeah.
I did not see Vice.
Yeah, I want to see Rockwell's portrayal of...
George W.
George W. I think that'd be really funny.
But... it probably would be.
In any case.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I'll say it to finish off my review here. I would recommend it to anyone who enjoys these actors a lot and wants to see them. But it's not my taste, this film.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I love this film. It's like top 10, top 5 for me. But this happens every week where I'm like, where you like, would you recommend the movie? And I'm like, depends.
Yeah.
It's very like, who would I recommend it to? Like, literally last week I told Chris not to watch this movie. So, like, and it's one of my favorites. But yeah, like, if your audience who you're trying to recommend loves black comedies and these actors, like, mm-hmm. then this is the movie to. Yeah, so if someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I love black comedies, Sam Rockwell, Christopher Walken, and Woody Harrelson, have any movies like, for me?
I'd be surprised they hadn't seen this movie. If they exactly. said that, you're like, you haven't seen Seven Psychopaths? All right, well, there you go. That's our review for Seven Psychopaths, and now let's get into our bonus reviews. I got two, Perk has one, so I will start. And you just mentioned John Cena. So I'm going to start with a little show called Peacemaker. This is the spinoff of the Suicide Squad movie that came out recently that Chris talked about last week, starring the titular John Cena, playing Peacemaker, who is a person who thinks he's a superhero, more of an anti-hero slash maybe supervillain that will kill every man, woman, and child if it means peace. It's kind of a shtick. And going into this show, I heard people liked it a lot, but his character in the movie was very entertaining but kind of shallow. I was like, how did they make this a show? You know, Perk?
Yeah.
And I'm caught up. There's one episode left coming out tomorrow, so I've watched all 7 of the ones that are out. Perk, this show has no right being as good as it is.
Okay.
This show is absolutely fantastic. And it's because it is a really good comedy, but also it really has a strong emotional core at the center of it and a strong message, I think. Sure. And it feels very present. It feels very, like, now and relevant to just where we are as a country right now. And I really, really, really enjoy it. Right. John Cena is fantastic. Really, it has a strong range of being comedic, but also having some really good emotional scenes. Supporting cast is great. Action's good. Music's great. It's like all hair metal bands is the nice. Soundtrack. Yeah, I don't want to like spoil anything. I'll just say, like, just go watch the show. Even if you haven't seen the movie, they give a little recap before. But
I haven't. I quite liked it. So, yeah.
This is
one of those ones that I just need to get around to.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very excited for the finale tomorrow. And it already got renewed for season 2. I saw it today. So. Cool. We'll be getting more of it, but yeah, absolutely fantastic. Highly recommend Peacemaker.
Awesome.
Perk, what do you got for me?
All right, yeah, this was a lighter week for me. I had intent to watch a couple Oscar contenders or Best Picture nominees. The first that I looked for was Drive My Car, which I believe is a Korean film, which is currently showing downtown. And I wanted to try and get in there to catch a showing. And then I saw it's 3 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
And I just could not fit it into my schedule. So at some point I'll watch Drive My Car. I hope it comes to a streaming service. I doubt it, because that's how these Oscar movies always work.
I know.
But if not, I'll rent it or something.
And it is Japanese.
Japanese. Sorry for the confusion. And then the other one I was going to watch was King Richard.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
The Will Smith,
yeah,
William Sisters one? I have not.
I was kind of
turned off by the trailers for it, to be completely honest.
That's fair. I mean, and the what got me, I did want to see it, but what really got me back into it was the Oscar nods, which might be dumb because, like, the Oscars always ignore my favorite movies, like like The Green Knight just getting entirely shut out, when that's maybe my favorite movie from last year. But occasionally they know what they're talking about. I think I'm really curious to see Drive My Car because I want to know if it's actually that good or if it's just the Oscars trying to act like they're relevant.
Right.
But yeah, so King Richard was, it's a Warner Brothers movie, so it was on HBO Max day it came out, but apparently that's only for like a month.
Yeah, that's what they do. It comes out for a month and they take it away again, and who knows
why? If
it
will ever return. Do the opposite. Do the exact opposite.
To drive subscriptions, like, oh, it's a limited time thing, gotta get in now, and then people cancel their subscription.
I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, that's lame. So I did not yet see King Richard. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably rent it at some point, but there are movies on streaming that I need to watch. Like, was Tick, Tick, Boom Best Picture nominee?
I don't remember, but you should watch it anyway.
It got nominated for something.
All I know is that Spider-Man got snubbed, and that's all I care about. So,
yeah, I mean, fair. I don't think it's a Best Picture nominee, but it's the best.
I don't really think it is either, but...
Best superhero movie I've seen since... Christ, that's a tough one. A long time, like before Infinity War, I think.
Did it get?
Oh no!
Visual effects.
Spider-Verse. Oh, Spider-Verse came out. Yeah, Spider-Verse is like the best. But
anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So and then Power of a Dog, is that somewhere? Is that streaming?
That's on Netflix. That's on Netflix.
Netflix. All right. Then that'll probably be what I watch next week.
Mm-hmm.
Along with. Oh, no, wait, you have another review. Sorry.
Are they going to talk about Disenchantment?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I had a
You went on this long rant of things you didn't watch. What did you watch?
Sorry. Yeah, I watched Disenchantment, the new season that came out last week. And I love it. It's just like, what if Game of Thrones was made by the creators of Futurama? So it's definitely not for everyone, because a lot of the Futurama audience is people who are looking for, like, laugh a minute. And then this show is very character heavy, very plot heavy, and a lot of the plots don't like tie up nicely, and a lot of them get kicked down the road for like whole seasons. So there have been running themes throughout, and I love it, and that's probably because I'm just a Futurama stan. But the new season didn't disappoint for me. Got a lot of the. A lot of the old-fashioned gags, as well as more plot development.
I have a question about Disenchantment, because this was season 4 that just came out, right?
Correct.
Maybe I'm just totally misremembering. I could have swore when it first came out, the creators said they wanted to do like 3 seasons and be done. Did that happen or not?
Technically, this is the second half of season 2.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing
like part 1, part like, 2 is season 1.
They are effectively... seasons 1 through 4, but the way Hulu's picked them up, or Netflix has picked them up, has been the pilot was 20, and then they got picked up for another 20, and most likely they'll get picked up for another 20 and then be done. At least I hope they get picked up for another 20. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
So you prefer it to have an end as opposed to go on forever?
Correct. Especially a show like this, because like with Futurama getting rebooted, it's not serial. I mean, there's elements of seriality to it, but like it's just will they, won't they with Fry and Leela. So they can always just like reboot up Futurama and do like another episode with the Harlem Globetrotters or something. So
Right.
You can do stuff like that. Whereas there's one-off episodes in Disenchantment, but like probably 8 out of 10 episodes every season are plot advancing. So,
gotcha.
At some point, you're going to have to just tie it back up and close everything down. So, I imagine probably they'll do one more run of 20, so it might be two more years. That it's a weird one too, that show, because I like follow the Twitter account, because I'm always checking for like updates on new seasons and stuff. What happens is they tweet about the show when it comes out. It's usually January, February. They tweet about it for a few weeks and then go radio silent for 10 months.
Yep.
And I'll just keep checking back and there'll be nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And then 2 weeks before the show premieres, there'll be like, new season coming in 2 weeks. It's like, great, thanks.
That's kind of how Netflix does it, though. Didn't give me time to prepare. Like, I remember even when BoJack was coming out, they wouldn't announce the release date until like 2 weeks before it actually dropped. So they'll announce renewals like pretty soon after a season drops if they do end up renewing it. Sure. But then you won't hear about it until it's about to come out.
Exactly. So,
but speaking of Netflix shows.
Speaking of.
It's actually not a Netflix show, but it's only on Netflix. Or no, it's on Netflix, which is rare for new anime. But this week I've watched most of the anime Komi Can't Communicate. This is a new anime that I heard about a while ago because the guy I was watching on YouTube read the manga and really enjoyed it. Finally got animated. That came out last year, and it finished up the first season, so I started watching it this week. And I'll tell you what, Bert. I've talked in this podcast before that I cry a lot watching anime. But I don't think I've ever cried on the first episode.
Jesus.
And this show fucking got me on the first episode. God damn. So the premise for this anime is you have this girl, high school girl, Komi, who is, you know, stunning, gorgeous, super smart, athletic on paper. And if you look at everything, she's the perfect perfect girl. But you find out she's actually
a frog.
She has like debilitating social anxiety and she can't talk to people.
Gotcha.
Like she wants to talk, but
cannot. Oh, that's like the title. Cannot communicate.
Yeah, yeah. So every time people like try to talk to her, she's like can't say anything. And then because she's so gorgeous, like, oh, like you can do whatever you want kind of thing. So it's kind of taking the idea of like you don't know what's going on inside somebody by just looking at them to like the nth degree of like this person who looks totally perfect is actually like completely, you know, having a hard time and can't even talk to people. So anyway, she meets this guy who finds out about her situation and they become friends by just writing down on a blackboard to each other because she can write. And then her goal is to get 100 friends. And so the show is about him trying to help her get 100 friends in high school. The catch being that at this high school, everybody who goes to it is a fucking crazy person and has very wild personalities and shit. So,
Well, hey, I thought you didn't like movies about crazy people.
Well, this, you know, this has a straight man. This has a straight man in it.
Okay.
But, I really, really like this show. It's incredibly wholesome and cute, but it's also pretty dang funny because of all these crazy characters.
Sure.
I recommend it, but I will say I wouldn't have somebody be their first anime because you know how in an anime perk, there'll be like characters doing a reaction and it's like super over the top or like a different art style and create that. In this show, it's like that all the way to 11 okay. Because there's no action, you know, there's no fighting. So they can put that budget into these reactions and just crazy characters. So it's a lot. I'd say it's about 60% funny, 40% cringe on that. It really just, it comes down to this. The show has a very, very solid emotional core, that I think keeps me coming back at least. So if you're interested, I'd say watch the first episode. You know, by the end of the first episode, if you want to keep watching it or not. But I'm really, really enjoying it and I'm excited, to see more if it hopefully gets picked up for another season. So,
yeah, that sounds cool and all, except it's a straight ripoff of the, perfectly written character, Rajesh Kuthrapali from the Big Bang Theory.
See, he can only not talk to women. Komi can't talk to anybody.
Oh, okay. I see.
So not even like her parents.
So that's how they get away with the copyright infringement on the Big Bang.
Exactly. That's how they got away with it. And
I used to really like that show. And then now so I really hate it.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I used to watch it when we were in high school, just like because it'd be on and funny enough.
Maybe it's because I wasn't like a super nerd. I was a super nerd. Maybe I wasn't admitting to being a super nerd back then. Because, like, once you are a nerd, you just realize that every punchline in that show is, ha, nerd.
Yeah, pretty much. And, like,
it's the only joke they make.
they wrote in as part of jokes some stuff about nerd culture I did think was funny, but also sometimes it just kind of was too much, and it was like, I don't know. It just, over time, that show kind of lost its kind of what made it special, and it's fine. It's a fine show. Also, watching like multi-camera sitcoms now is just kind of weird. I don't know why. I mean, I always watch too much anime or other stuff, but like,
you know, a single set sitcom. Less than fine, but yes, I agree. It yeah, sitcoms are like, I don't know. Obviously, once I get elderly, like in 3 years, I think just old people just watch sitcoms, so I guess that'll just be me. I really hope to just never get to that point in my life, though. like, given I like some sitcoms, I mean, Futurama is a sitcom, but I don't want to be, like, waiting for the new episode of Big Bang Theory. Sorry.
I think you're thinking of soap operas. At this point,
it's Young Sheldon.
Oh, God. We need to get into soap operas, because that shit has like a 14,000 episodes and never ends.
Well, you already watch One Piece. That's the same thing.
I mean, you're not wrong, but at least One Piece will end. I don't think soap operas will ever end. No. And there's a new episode every day of the week.
God, really?
So, quick side tangent. I recently saw on YouTube some, like, I don't know, it was recommended some THR story about some soap opera actor that was getting booted off for whatever reason. And it was General Hospital, I think. I'm like, let me just look at some IMDb. And I look it up, and it's, 14,000 episodes. Okay, that was not an exaggeration, Perkins. The show's been on since, like, the 60s. And I looked, and, like, yeah, there's an episode Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday since, like, the 60s.
It's amazing.
Absolute insanity. And it's just, So as long as we don't get to that point, I'll be happy, Perk.
You know? All right. I'll avoid sitcoms. Or not sitcoms, soap operas.
Soap operas. Oh, all right. Well, that is our show for this week. Next week, we're going to be watching a little movie called White Men Can't Jump, featuring Woody Harrelson from this movie. It is streaming on Hulu. We're going to try, for the next 10 episodes or so, to transition to watching more movies with black creators and black actors, because we've been watching all white people so far. So we want to try to mix it up, get a little more diversity in there. So we'll start with White Men Can't Jump and then go from there, and hopefully be able to stay on the string but have more diversity shown. So, yeah, next week, White Men Can't Jump on Hulu. And until then, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.